Welcome to Think Like an Integrator, a podcast for business visionaries who love to dream but lack a team to do it all. I'm your host and integrator, Kat Schmoyer. When you know how to integrate, you will always be able to innovate. I'm here to tell you how. Welcome to the show. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to the podcast this week. I am so excited. I say that at the beginning of every episode. I need to figure out, I don't know, Aubrey, do you do this with yours? I feel like I say the exact same, like, yay, welcome. And I need to get more creative with that. Maybe I'll like chat GPT, other fun things to say for that. Who knows? But this is a really fun one. Aubrey and I were just like, we were talking before this and we probably could have just recorded everything we were talking about before this. It's just so fun. Aubrey's one of our clients. We love working with her. She's a friend. We did a mastermind together, like just so much fun stuff. So Aubrey, I'm so, so excited that you're here. I'm like geeking out over what we're going to talk about because you know I love your funnel so much and it's going to be so fun to like really get into the weeds. But before we go there, can you introduce yourself and tell everybody a little bit more about you and what you do and where you live and all the fun things that are Aubrey?
Yeah. Okay. I will keep this short and sweet and to the point because I tend to go on and on and on when it comes to my story. It's like those questions where they're like, talk about yourself. And some people are like, oh, I don't like to do that. And I'm like, okay, here I am. I'll tell you all about me. But yeah, my name is Aubrey Malik and I live in a very small town in Western New York with really cold winters. And we're just kind of coming into some of that nice weather, which I'm so excited for. And I was a former elementary teacher looking for a way to be at home with my kids. I liked what I did as a teacher. It's not like I really could complain about it. Obviously, there were some things that I wish I could change, and there were definitely some harder days. But the main thing was that I wanted to be at home with my kids. And so I was looking for a way to be at home with them, but still financially bring in the income because we needed that as a family. My husband's a school counselor. So we were both just like riding that teacher salary and hoping, you know, crossing our fingers that we could make it from month to month. And I stumbled upon being a virtual assistant and really dove into that and was able to quit my teaching job and be at home with my kids. And then just kind of naturally, I think I say like it kind of out of luck or happenstance, just, you know, it fell into my lap where I was able to start talking about what I did and how I did it. And people wanted to learn from me. And that teacher in me started to come out, which I loved. And I was able to start, you know, creating courses and digital resources and things that would help people because, as you know, Kat, like there's only so much time in a day. There's only one of me. And as much as I wanted to help so many people, that list just kept growing and growing. And so being able to help them and support them and help a lot of teachers who are looking either to supplement their income or just looking for a way to provide for their family financially that does not necessarily have to take them out of the home if they want to be at home with their kids, if they want to homeschool or they just want to be able to travel and live a more flexible lifestyle, and freelancing and virtual assistant allows them to do that. So that's my backstory and how I got to where I am today and what I'm up to now.
Love it. I love it. And you're right. I do think there's so much crossover. First of all, in just like virtual assistant and like integrator agency in general, like there's a lot of let me remove tasks from your plate. Like That's like the role is that like helper behind the scenes. So Maybe I'm like having a realization. Maybe that's why we like clicked a little bit of like we have that, you know, mentality on the back end, which I love. But then also I think it's so true with like your heart for teaching and like in the classroom has definitely translated into, well, now what can you do for other moms and students inside of your courses and your shop products and things like that, which is also really, really cool to see.
Yeah, it's been interesting because I'm both people, right? Like I have a little bit of that integrator in me because I was the behind the scenes person. But I also like as my business started to grow and as I started to work with clients, I had a moment. I remember I was like about a year in and I had kind of checked off everything. Like I was like, okay, replace my income, have this be a stable income for our family, be at home. You know, we really wanted to send our sons to this nursery school, but their hours were really wonky for, you know, people who are in traditional jobs. And so we were able to do it. And I crossed off all those things. And I'm like, I still feel like something's missing. And I almost felt a little bit greedy, but I felt like it was that visionary coming out and that teacher coming out of me of like, there is more, like this was kind of that stepping stone to show me what is possible. And now I can take all of my other natural gifts and talents that I have and to be able to teach. But you know, like in our conversations, like I do sometimes, like I need to remind myself, I don't always need to be in the weeds, but sometimes seeing how a project comes together and how technology, how we connect things, it is exciting for me still to see that backside of it too.
Yeah, 100%. And I love so many of our clients, but I also feel like it's fun to be with client like you who has enough of that integrator brain to understand, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And to be like, no, okay, what's my due date? Like, what's the checklist? Like we need to like get it done and kind of like work off of that. And I feel like that's on like a personal note, I feel like that's what's helped us in our working relationship of like having some of that shared mentality, mm-hmm. or you'll be like, oh, this is not working in Shopify. Like I'll jump in and troubleshoot too. And like, we're all in Zapier at the same time, like trying to figure out like what's going on or whatever. And there's like a little bit of community and like the troubleshooting of all of that.
Yes. And like the internal cheering when I finally figured it out, I was like, yes, I did it.
Yes. Oh, it's so gratifying to like get those answers. Yes. Yes. Okay, so obviously we've said, you guys, like Aubrey and I work together. Like she's one of our clients with the agency. Samantha, who has been on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, she's her project manager. I would love, Aubrey, if you could share a little bit about like our working relationship and like what the agency does in your brand, knowing that, again, you've pivoted from that virtual assistant life to now teaching and educating other virtual assistants, which there's such a need for other mamas, other teachers to like get the education that you have to offer.
Yeah. So I think, you know, and I want to take it back to when I was looking to hire for this, I think I always kind of knew that I needed somebody to really help to drive the ship, right? Like I always felt like I had to be both of those people, right? Like I had to see the vision and come up with all the stuff. And I also had to integrate it. And because I felt like, well, I've done that for other people too, in some capacity or shape or form. And I really needed somebody who I didn't have, you know, silly as this sounds, I felt like I was at a point in my business where I didn't have to teach. Like I wanted to come to the call or to like our brainstorming sessions and say like, here's some, you know, projects that I have that I'm thinking about that I'd like to move forward with, and not have to be like, okay, well, Aubrey's going to handle these things because we don't know how to do those. Like, it's really great to come in and say like, these are all the things that we're really great at and we know how to do. And Aubrey can sit in the seat that she needs to sit in. Or if there are some things that like Aubrey just loves doing, like maybe she really like loves designing landing pages or whatever, like she can do that. But it's not like I have to go in and say like, here's how we're going to do this. It just felt like such a relief to bring those bigger picture ideas to you guys and to be like, okay, here's what we're going to tackle. And I remember getting off like a couple of our first calls when we had some of those things that we're going to start rolling out. And I just felt a relief. Like I don't have to... Yes, I can know how to do things. And yes, some of those things are exciting for me, but I don't have to. And I did feel like before we started working together, I was on a fast track to burnout because I just felt like I was doing a lot and trying to juggle all the things and trying to sit in the seats that I need to sit in, which like I know my strong suit is content. I know that's where, obviously that's where we're going to grow the, you know, the audience. That's why we're going to get people into the funnel. And that is, I mean, people are used to seeing me. So that seat by me couldn't necessarily be replaced. Sure, some things could be outsourced, but I still need to show up. I still need to be that face of the brand and the business. And so for you guys to be able to come in and just take all of those other things off my plate, you know, from the content to the copywriting to design to launching a brand new shop in Shopify, like that has just been so exciting to work together on that, to come together, but also to know that I don't have to do it all myself anymore.
100%. I love it so much. I wish we had like champagne or something right now, because this is like exactly what I want all of our clients to feel, but it also makes me feel so good that this has been your experience. And I think you hit the nail on the head, because this is something I'm slowly teaching to myself, like the control freak in me of like, just because I can do it doesn't mean I have to. Mm-hmm. And that's like a mantra I think all entrepreneurs need to hear, because there is like an adrenaline rush with like the bootstrapping it, right? Like mm-hmm. I figured it out. Like, oh, I did that Googling and I did that late night thing and like I got it done. But that isn't sustainable, just like you said. And so knowing that like we could come alongside each other to be able to work together and like brainstorm and get excited about the things that we're doing is like, that's what it's all about. So I love that so much. Okay, let's talk about your 30-day bootcamp funnel, the reason, not the only reason I wanted to bring you on the podcast, but one of the big reasons I wanted to bring you on the podcast. Because you know, since we first started working together, and we've been working together how long?
A year.
Almost a year, right? Yeah. Like yeah, right at like, the, okay. Oh my goodness. I remember, like, I love this funnel. I'm obsessed with this funnel because, and here's why I'm obsessed with it. And I'm going to let Aubrey like talk about it. Of course, that's why she's here. but it's really, really simple at its core. Mm-hmm. And there's definitely been some things over the last year where we've optimized and like we've adjusted and we've added to it, which is great. And that's the purpose of part of your digital product suite is being able to start and then grow from there. But what I want everybody to remember when like listening to Aubrey talk about this is that like you can give yourself permission to just start and like mm-hmm. progress over perfection of just get something really simple up there. And you might be so surprised like Aubrey at like what the power of this like simple thing will do for your brand. So I want to hear you like explain 30-day bootcamp and then let's talk about the funnel.
Right. So 30-day bootcamp really is where it all started. It's taken on a couple different iterations from there. But I remember this one moment, it was January of 2021. And I kind of had that moment of where I was in a balancing act of I still obviously have to provide financially for our family. Like my family was still depending on that income, but I was trying to make the shift from just working one-on-one with clients to can I actually be, you know, an online educator? But it is a delicate balance because you have to balance, okay, like I still have these clients who I have the income, but I also have to find the time to start to grow the audience and start to talk about it and start to share about it and start to position myself as this is what I want to get known for. And I had this one moment where I had this idea of like, I want to launch this digital product. I want it to be not like short and sweet and to the point, but I want it to be something that somebody could take today because my mindset is if I'm starting something, I'm starting it and I could go like 100 miles a minute and I don't want to have to like wait for all these things. So I was like, how can I get something to somebody that's going to give them the information that they need? If they were at a point like me where it was like a now or never, I need to find something to start making money. Like I could take this and get started with it. So talked myself into it and said like, I'm just going to put this out there, created this digital product and it evolved and I made some tweaks to it, of course, because like as you put digital products out and as you put things out, you get feedback from people and they say, okay, like I wish it would have had this, or can you include this, or this would have been helpful. And so I started to tweak it. And then I started to think, okay, I could keep going direct to product, which is what I was doing for a really long time. That was kind of my main call to action, was to like buy this digital product. But I also felt like I was missing people who maybe weren't ready. Maybe they visited the sales page and they just like weren't ready. And I wanted to grow my email list because a lot of the content that I was putting out there was on social media. And I knew like, I don't own that. At that point, I had grown a substantial TikTok following. That was like my main bread and butter of the content that I was putting out and the people that were coming in. And it was working well, but I wanted to really start to grow my email list. So I decided to put together basically everything that I was doing on social media anyways, but in a condensed version. So kind of the like virtual assistant 101, like here is a video to explain to you what this is, because a lot of like when I was creating content, a lot of people were asking me those same questions. So if I could create a video where they could pause it, they could take notes, they could watch it back, they could learn everything they need to know. And at the end of that video was where I was going to pitch this product. And it was this one product that I was going to pitch. And again, it was lower digital price. And now I will say that a little bit of timing and luck happened into this, but I created that video. I put it out there, said like, I've got this brand new free training. It's going to talk to you, you know, show you everything that you need to know. And that first month that I launched that free training, I also had a couple pieces of content go pretty viral, but that funnel from free training to pitching the 30-day bootcamp, this digital product that I put together to help people get started, did over $45,000 in revenue just in 30 days. And so I was like, okay, I have all this other content that's really great, but really like what I found is like giving people me, because I felt like that was the secret sauce. Like I did have a podcast and I had all these other things that I was doing, but what was working for me was showing up on video. So I could give people a little bit of like a longer form where they didn't have to scroll through all these TikTok videos to get all the answers. It was in that condensed version. And then at the end, I was like, okay, if you're ready to take what you've learned from here and have the step-by-step guide, this is going to give you everything that you need to do it. And so that, again, that funnel has gone through different iterations. Like I've redone the video. We've played around with that. We've played around with timing. We've played around with some other things. But really it was super simple. It was recording the video. I want to say the first video I did, I recorded it on Zoom. I had, you know, a Canva presentation that I did a screen share with, and I just talked, and I just had, the link underneath that video to go and purchase that product, and it worked. And so, Yeah, it's kind of crazy. You know, when that was September, October of 2021, when that free training to direct product funnel launch. And then we just tweaked it along the way and added in some different things, but that's really kind of how it started.
Absolutely amazing. I mean, and you are so kind to yourself. Like, you're like, oh, I mean, it was a little bit of luck. No way, girl. Like, that was 100% like your content on TikTok that went viral. Like, you are so good at content. And this also goes back to like the beginning of this episode when you were saying like you were doing all the things because nobody else was there to help you. Mm-hmm. And this was even pre, like, we weren't working together at this point when this was happening in your funnel. So you're still being the face, showing up on TikTok, showing up on your podcast, like trying to do that visionary forward-facing things, but then also on the back end setting things up. So like, oh my gosh, all like the like clapping emojis for you, because that's incredible that that's what that did. And $45,000 in revenue. That's a teacher's salary. Like that's like one salary in 1 month. Like, and it's possible because you had top of funnel, you had really strong top of funnel, which I want to definitely talk about in here. But then the actual funnel itself, bringing it back home, guys, of like how simple it can be. Like, you weren't using a webinar tool like Webinar Jam or anything like that when you did this free funnel, right?
Nope. It was just I uploaded it to Vimeo and put that embed link on a landing page, and then had the, you know, smaller sales page kind of underneath it. And yeah, I mean, I was doing that. I don't even think at that time I even had a VA at all. I know I didn't, because I remember being, but again, like,
you were your own VA.
Yeah. And being so, but then, you know, it like you said, there is, I think that there is that in the beginning of like, you know, trying to figure it out and getting excited about what's to come. And I remember there would be times where I would be like, you know, I'd show my husband something. He's like, you did that? And I'm like, yeah, I did it. And being really proud of myself too. But there also comes a time where it's like, okay, I can't keep the laptop open all night. Like, I want to be able to enjoy time with my family. And that's why I started this in the first place. Like, when I bring it back to that, and I remind myself of that too. And even when you think about, like you said, like trying to let things go, like when I bring myself back to that, it's like, well, you can't put a price on time with your family and time with my kids and being able to go outside and play with them, as opposed to, well, no, I got to finish this one thing. And so being able to like outsource that out to people. But yeah, no fancy tools, literally like the landing page, embedded Flowdesk email provider. And I had, you know, a welcome sequence in there. And that was, you know, obviously like that was kind of nurturing them too, if they didn't buy. But what I found too, is that a lot of people were purchasing, you know, right from that quote unquote webinar. Yes, that's what it was, but it wasn't in the traditional webinar sense.
Yeah, it is so powerful, you guys, just being able to put something out there and test it. And like, on, like, again, this is why your funnel made me so excited when we first started working together. And then when we were in the mastermind together, and I was like learning even more, and like literally my mind was blown at like, this is amazing. Because I think so many of us we want everything to be perfect, right? Like, we look at like this curated space, and we want to like, of course we want to provide the very best in the content that we are teaching and in the ways that we're helping our like students and potential customers. Like, absolutely. Like, that at its core should be a huge part of your heart as an educator. It should not ever just be about making money. So we can acknowledge that, and we can, yes, we want it to be great content. But the tech and tools and all the fancy stuff, like, that doesn't have to be quote unquote perfect, right? Like, what you did worked. It worked so well. Like, it worked $45,000 worth of like working because you had people that were like, yes, Aubrey, take my money. Yes, Aubrey, like, help me do this. And it didn't have to be fancy on the back end. And so I want that to be like a breath of fresh air for everybody listening to this, that like, sure, there are amazing tech and tools. There are awesome resources. I have affiliate links for like quite a few tech and tools that like my team loves to use, and I like will proudly promote them. But you don't have to have all the bells and whistles. If you have content, if you have good content, and you have a funnel that's showing that content to the world, like building awareness, then people will see that content and then purchase the product. We talked about a couple of episodes ago, just creating a marketing funnel. So if you guys haven't listened to that yet, definitely go back to that episode. I'll link the worksheet that we included with that episode, where we literally walk you through, like, download this worksheet and then create your own funnel, because that's what Aubrey did with like building awareness top of funnel, bringing people into the funnel through her Flowdesk, like getting them into her email, getting them this free class, pitching a class, and then getting them to purchase the product at the end. Like, in its simplest form, that's what it was. Clearly it worked so well, which I love for you.
Yeah. And you know, some people, like I've had the podcast since I started. So I, September of 2019 is when I started the podcast. And sometimes I can't believe that I've had it for that long, but that was kind of at that turning point of like, well, maybe there's something more out there for me. And, you know, I loved listening to podcasts, and a lot of what I learned, even just in my own journey of, you know, helping clients and supporting them and being that virtual assistant, I would listen to podcasts and I love to talk. And so I felt like that was a really great avenue. What I found too, is that was even for me, like almost kind of like a step down in the funnel too. Like that was going to the, for me, what I found is I, for whatever reason, captivated people on the video content and drew people in. And the people who, you know, you had people on two sides of that camp. You had people who were like, yeah, this is for me. Like I'm like ready to go and like take that free class, or I'm ready to purchase from her. Then you had the other people who are like, this sounds interesting. I'm going to like hang around for a little bit. And that's where like the podcast almost came in as that secondary thing for me, is like solidifying me as that expert and to show them more and just to kind of give more of that depth for them. Where like with social media, it's quicker hitting for them. It's a little bit more fleeting. The podcast was a really great place to send people. And then also too, you know, I know that there's some people who aren't going to be ready financially for whatever reason. So I didn't want to feel like here you're left high and dry if you can't purchase my product. You know, I want to still be able to support you too. So it was kind of like, for me, it was the social media was like that very, very top, you know, awareness funnel. And then bringing people in through the podcast was like that nurturing, going deeper, building more of that trust with them. And then, you know, like obviously continuing to pitch. If I didn't catch them from the one video that I did to the free class, okay, like making sure that I'm trying to like scoop all of them up in the different areas wherever they may be coming to me from.
Yeah, that's amazing. It feels like you have my marketing worksheet, which I know you don't, but that's why I like love this. It's like also helpful for me to be like, oh, yes, because it's everything that you're talking about, guys. Like that is that marketing funnel worksheet, is that top of funnel is where it's that awareness stage. Then mid funnel is consumer moving to explorer. And so that's exactly what Aubrey is describing, of like social media awareness, speak to the masses, get people ready to be excited and like repel and attract of like, are they in, are they not? Consume, it's all about them. They're not quite ready to pay you. They're not ready to get on your email list. So they're going to listen to the podcast, or they're going to go follow you on YouTube, or they're going to like consume a little bit more. And then explorer, okay, now they're like, they're ready. They're like on your email list. They're getting weekly updates. They're ready to be nurtured and then pitch to whatever it is at the bottom of the funnel. So it's like so perfect, and like following the steps and what you did there. I want to know, and this wasn't on one of my questions before I sent to you, Aubrey, so I'm like putting you on the spot here, but you mentioned it briefly earlier when you were describing the funnel. When you talked about the class that you created, you talked about how you were just getting questions. And so you were like, well, let me, instead of people having to binge watch all of these TikToks, let me put them all into a class for them. Like, could you talk a little bit more about that? Because I feel like when people are thinking about the freebie, right? Like mm-hmm. for you, it wasn't a PDF freebie, it was a free class. Mm-hmm. But when people are thinking about what do I do for my freebie, we're always asking that. So I'd love to hear like, how did you decide that that's what you should do? And clearly it converted. So that's why I want to like dig into that a little more.
Yeah, I knew, and I had tried out different variations of things. I don't think when I'm trying to think back if I ever had really like a PDF thing. I just felt, for whatever reason, I felt very comfortable on video, which I know it's easy for me to sit here and say, because I know some people are like, that may like keep me far away. And I know even now, like I've seen it on Instagram, these like faceless marketing things. And I'm like, for me, I think that it builds the relationship so much faster. But yeah, so one of the things that I did in when I was creating TikToks is obviously I would do TikToks that were more like for the masses, right? It wasn't like on a specific part. It was more kind of to like bring awareness to me. And then from those videos that would go a little bit more viral, I would get those same types of questions. What is a virtual assistant? Who hires virtual assistants? You know, is this a company that you work for? Just all of those kind of beginner questions of like a 101 of like, what is this? And so a lot of my videos were, you know, it was like, I would cycle through them every couple of weeks. I would go through and say like, answer, like create a video response. So like when you see a comment type up, you can do this on TikTok or Instagram in the reels, but a comment and like you're responding to that comment, but it's a video instead of just typing out a comment. And so I would go through and I spent some time what are those questions that I'm getting asked about over and over again? Those videos that I'm responding to, those comments that keep coming up, because clearly there's some confusion around this. And how can I create a longer form video? Because I want to say at that time when I first did it, maybe 30 seconds was the longest video that you could do. I don't even know if you had like, if you could do a minute yet. Now you can do up to like 10 minutes. And I think they're even testing 30 minute videos. But basically just those beginner questions, those questions that I kept seeing people come up that I'm like, if somebody could sit down with me and I could give them, you know, an overview, this is what I would tell them about all these things. So those beginner questions that are coming up, like what are those first couple things that before somebody purchases from you, what do they need to know to take that next step? And for me, people needed to know, like, what is virtual assistant? How is this different than maybe other things that I'm seeing? What skills do I need to have? Who's going to hire me? How am I going to price myself? Like all of those things that they needed to kind of feel comfortable with in order to say, okay, yes, this is for me, or no, it's not for me. And then if yes, this is for me, okay, then my digital product is the next thing that's going to help you now that you have all of this information. So like I always say, it's like that 101 class. It's like that prerequisite that you need. And we've talked about this too in calls that we've had and in the mastermind. It's like I always felt bad going direct to product, even though I knew my product would give them a really good understanding of this, but I felt like there was some confusion about what this is, or like I needed to bust some of those myths. And you see that too. Like people have PDFs of like the five mistakes that you're making when it comes to whatever your topic is. So similar to that, just in a video style format, because I knew for me, video was working. And especially because I was doing a lot of this pitching and talking about this free class on video content, I felt like it wouldn't translate as well if I said, okay, like I'm showing up on video and you're connecting to me and you're like, ooh, I'm liking her. And I'm like, what she's talking about. And then here's a PDF. I didn't feel like it would translate as well. I'm like, well, if they're tuning into me and they're binging a lot of my videos, like if I can give them just a longer form content. And I knew that was kind of my thing. And I heard it a lot from people, like once that free class launched, that people had said, like, I felt like you were speaking directly to me. I felt like you were in my head. And honestly, all that came from was just because I've just had seen those comments and people had been having those conversations with me. So I was able to speak to a lot of those pain points because I'd done a lot of the market research and the legwork leading up to that to be able to really call out those pain points of things that, like, if you are experiencing this, I've been there. I know what that feels like. And here's why this was the best solution for me. And now I'm going to teach you what this is so that you can have a better understanding and then make a decision on whether you want to move forward with pursuing something that can help you get this done. And I've always said to people too, I felt like I almost kind of gave them like, you know, letting them off the hook at the end. I kind of said like, you can take everything that you've learned here. And I felt like, especially at the beginning, we've pared it back too, because, you know, sometimes it can be information overload for people and they're like, okay, I've just received so much information. I don't know what to do. So there is that delicate balance of not giving them too much. Not that you don't want to like, I never feel like I'm giving away too much information. I've been recording podcast episodes for years. I feel like people probably can take a lot of the information in my podcast and start the business and grow. What I tell people is you can take what you've learned from this and you can run with it and you can totally DIY this. But if you are somebody like me and you don't want to have to wait to try to figure out the right answer, or you don't want to second guess, you want to be able to have the step-by-step, that's what this is going to do for you. And I think like that language kind of helped them to see what camp they fell into and then they could make the decision moving forward.
Absolutely. I love that. It's helpful because what you did was just listen to what your audience was asking for. And then they literally told you like, here are my questions. Mm-hmm. So I think for anybody like listening, if you're wondering like, well, what should that top of funnel freebie be? Think about what is your audience asking? Like literally, mm-hmm. What are the DMs? What are the comments? Like what are things that people want to know from you? That's probably really good information to think about. Could that be a free class? Could that be a PDF? Like, could that be a quiz? Where like the answers are some of the results, like what are some different things that you could do to help your people by just answering the questions that they're asking? Super simple, right. But it clearly works.
Yeah.
Another question I had, Aubrey, that we talked about like the big monthly number, obviously making 45,000 the first month that this funnel was like up and running. Incredible. Can you talk about the product price point? Because I feel like this is something I want to like demyth a little bit or debunk. I don't know like the right word there. I wanted to talk through that because when we are working with our clients on the integration side, there's this buzz around like a signature product and like having this course that's like literally A to Z, all the bells and whistles, everything you could ever want to learn about said offer or said product or said thing that they're teaching. And there's nothing wrong with that. There are some incredible signature courses out there. Some of you guys listening might have one. But I want to talk about what Aubrey did with this product. This is one of the big reasons why I think it sold so well in this funnel was because of the price point and what was included inside of this product.
Yeah. So pricing for me is never like, I'm always like, what should we price this? It's always that, conversation that I have in my head. And I will say I've done different variations of things where I've had courses that, you know, were the whole kitchen sink and everything included and coaching and this, and it was, $1,000 plus. I think one thing to take into consideration too for everybody is their audience. And it's not that I felt like my audience couldn't afford that, but I also, thought about myself when I was in that position of, I need to learn how to do this and I wish somebody would teach me. And of course, thinking back, hindsight, I would have said, well, if you would get me to the point that I'm here right now, I would have paid anything. But I also knew that like a lot of my audience are moms, they're teachers, they're trying to make it work. And so I wanted to make it something affordable for them to be able to do. And also, like I said, to be able to implement quickly, because sometimes like I've purchased many of courses in my career online, and some of them are lengthy, and it's not that the information isn't good, but it just takes forever to get through. And sometimes I'm like, give me that quick, because that's just who I am as a learner. Like, I'm like, I don't need, a 15 hour long drawn out explanation. I need something like, tell me exactly like what to do. Here's the thing. Here's the action step. So that's something that I really leaned into. The price has varied. It's gone up. We've added things. We've taken things away. I think the most that it's ever been is $97. And then we've played around with different things and tweaked different things within it. And right now it's at that 57, 67 mark, depending on which, avenue they come in through the funnel. But that feels like a really good place for that. And of course, like that has evolved and it's also helped to, we've developed more of the product suite from there. But I am just all about keeping it simple. Like I know that I don't need all these bells and whistles. I don't need all these complicated things. Like I have something that's going to help my audience. I know who my audience is. I know who it's for. I know the type of people that they are. And how they're going to want to be able to take something and apply it. And so that's what I like to keep in mind too. And of course, like you said, like there are definitely times and places for those more signature course things and those higher priced products. But again, for my audience, this is what works. And I don't want to rock the boat on that.
Yeah. I feel like this episode, like the tagline should be something about just knowing your audience really well. Mm-hmm. Because truly, like it feels like that's a big missing piece to a lot of funnels out there. And I mean, I'm even thinking about some of my own where I'm like, man, I really need to sit in. Like, what do my people want? Because you figured out, well, let me answer the question. And that's going to be this top of funnel. Let me give them the product that is going a little bit further, right? Like kind of we're helping them out in this free class. Now we're going to give them a little bit more of this playbook to do what they need to do and action items. And it's easy for them to digest and take action on because they're busy and they're already working a 9-to-5 and they have kids and they're tired and they probably don't have a lot of extra cash to like spend. So let's also make it very reasonably priced where they might not even have to ask their husband, right? This mm-hmm. might not even need to be like a spousal conversation. It's like a trip to Target, probably less than like a trip to Target right. with that like $57, $97 price point. Let's be real. And they can get in and they can get what they need and they can love you and then therefore want more product suite details, complimentary resources, and things that you can sell them because after they've purchased, they're seeing results because your product is very results driven. Mm-hmm. You also have a podcast. So then it's going back to like almost that consumer explorer, like they've bought something, but they're continuing to get nurtured through the podcast to then want to buy even more from you. So literally genius, Aubrey. Like everything about it is so, so genius. And it makes me excited for our listeners to really understand like the importance of knowing your audience when it comes to thinking about every single step in your funnel so that your funnel can be the most strategic as possible because it's literally just answering questions and providing resources and pricing all three of those things in a like kind of trifecta that your audience is looking for.
Yeah. And I think, too, just another thing to explain, too, is that this is like I've said many times, it's taken on different iterations, like through, and just because I shared that, sometimes I have to remind myself too, like, it is okay to celebrate myself, but I also always go with the caveat of like, I don't want, like when I share those numbers, when I share things that happen for me, I don't want it to come across as like, oh, well, Aubrey didn't, if I just replicate this, because there's a lot of different things that play into that. And yes, there are, there is some things where you see that big success, but then there were other times where I was looking at that funnel and I was like, why isn't it converting? Like, it needs to, and okay, like maybe we need to go back and we need to adjust the emails. Maybe we need to adjust the class. Is there anything that we could change? And, as the online space gets noisier, there were other things that were pain points for my audience. So I was going back and saying, okay, like I should adjust this and add this into the class so that they can, that was another thing that was coming up is like, okay, well, how is freelancing different from all these other things that I've tried? So I was like, okay, that's definitely something that I'm hearing a lot. So I need to make sure that I'm including that in my marketing and in what I'm talking about and in that free class so that that can be something that can be kind of put their mind at ease or can answer that question along the way, because I know that it's come up too. So I think like knowing your audience, yes, definitely. And like continuing to like dive deeper again, like I said, that even so too, like my big thing at the beginning was like work from home. And after the pandemic, people weren't always like, I want to work from home. So I had to even tweak that messaging of like, having the flexible schedule. Like people are like, well, I still want to work. Like maybe I still do want to send my kids to daycare, but I want to have, I want to make my own schedule. I don't want somebody dictating that. So even tweaking that messaging around that. So just having that be a constant thing that you're doing and allowing it to evolve and allowing like to not be afraid to go back, even if something has worked in the past, to not be afraid to go back in and make tweaks and to try things and test things. I feel like for whatever reason, I'm that person. It's like, let's test it. Let's see. Let's try it out. Nothing has to be set in stone. We can always go back and it can change back to the way that it was. If it's not working, we can try all things out. But that's, I feel like, how you learn in this, in the online space too, and figure out what works is just by trying putting things out there, seeing if it clicks. If it does, great. Let's capitalize on that. Let's, put more fuel on that fire. And if it doesn't, okay, let's go back to the drawing board and figure out what we could do to make this better or make so that it does convert like what we want it to.
Absolutely. Yes. And I mean, in the last year since we've been working together, like we've made audits like mm-hmm. within that funnel. Cause we've had those conversations where like, it's not doing what it used to do. Mm-hmm. And so again, it's like, okay, it did work. It did click. It clicked so well in the beginning. Ride that train, let it, don't fix what's not broken sort of mentality. And then when you start to see, okay, conversions going down, what's happening, like you said, adjust, like play around with a price point, play around. We added deadline funnel in, which was like mm-hmm. that urgency into the funnel. We updated the landing page, thinking through how can we be more strategic there. I know you updated the content. So several different things that you can do to existing funnels when you're looking at what your audience is asking for and trying to maybe get it back the way it was before if it's mm-hmm. not converting like it used to, or maybe it never did. Maybe you're like, okay, well, I put this out there. It's still not converting. Try tweaking some things, try testing some things, because that's absolutely like what we have to do when we're in this space. I will say, don't test too many things at once mm-hmm. because that's like science, right? Which science was like not my thing. So that's kind of laughable for me to be like, but think about science. But it's true. Like if you test too many things in the funnel, you're not going to know what was the thing that actually made it work or what mm-hmm. was the thing that made it worse. Right. So start with one, test it out for like a month or two, like let it ride. Like you're on the train, just see what happens. And then, oh, okay, that didn't fix it or that didn't work as well. Let's do something else or revert back or whatever you need there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. One big thing that we changed, not even necessarily with the funnel, but the way that we were bringing awareness. So a lot of my marketing and a lot of where I was showing up was on TikTok, and that was working really well, but TikTok changes. And, it was me getting comfortable to a different style of what they were tending to show. And so I was like, okay, maybe I diversify a little bit and let me show up on Instagram. And one thing I liked about Instagram is I could put in a system to automate this even more. So, a lot of my videos on TikTok, I would be like, okay, I have a free class. It's linked in my bio. And like you kind of counting on people to go and to take that next step. Now with Instagram, like we have ManyChat. And so it's like, okay, comment this word and I'll send you the link. And it's just kind of like helping them take that step one step further. Like I'm getting in their DMs and then I'm able to build a relationship with them if they want to ask me questions. So even just that, like not necessarily like funnel wise needs to change, but maybe just even how you're showing up or the marketing that you're doing or tweaking that or like you said, adding in a system. So like Deadline Funnel really helped us to build in some of that urgency. ManyChat really helped to systematize that automation. Again, didn't have all this stuff to begin with, but like as you grow and as you develop, you can start to add those things in that help to make your life easier too.
Yes. So good. So good. Oh my goodness. Okay. We've talked about so many things. and it's been great. I hope it's been so helpful for all of you guys that are listening. Aubrey, I would love to kind of like close this out, I guess, with, whether it's like you thinking back to like 2021 Aubrey, you know, like getting started with like, okay, we're going to start to try to optimize evergreen funnels and like look at, you know, let's create something simple like this. Like, do you have like one tip or one piece of advice that you would want to share with like the 2021 you before, like pre this funnel exploding a little bit in like a good way, that our listeners now would really appreciate hearing?
I think one thing that I wish I would have done from the beginning, and I feel like I still kind of figured it out early on enough. I remember, you know, hearing people say like, you need an email list. And I was like, yeah, I'm rocking this over here on social media. It was like 10 months in when I really started. I had an email list, but I really wasn't directing anybody to it. And it really wasn't anywhere to get people off of social. And then to like really learn how to like nurture them through that. I was figuring it out as I went, which again, there's not a right or wrong to that. Sometimes you do need to just figure it out as you go. But I really wish like I would have put more time and effort into that email list and really like nurturing them there. That's something that we've talked about. That's I really want to be at the forefront of my focus. Again, the content, I'm good. I show up there, but really nurturing people like on your email list, really giving them love and support on your email list and really having that be a main call to action to get people on. Because at the end of the day too, like I've had people who have sent me messages that where they'll say like, I've been following you for over a year now. And like, I just now decided to take the leap. I've had many of those messages too. And so getting them on the email list where you can nurture them. I wish I would have done that sooner, but hindsight's 2020, but that's definitely something that I think is super important as you're starting to build these things out. You know, growing that audience, it does take time, but being able to have a place, even, you know, I remember when I would celebrate that I had, you know, 1,000 email subscribers, I'm like, this is amazing, like 1,000 people. And you can always compare yourself to other people and this person has this or whatever. But just really focusing in on that and loving on your people, no matter how many people that you have, and nurturing them and just providing that love and support to them, it will pay you back tenfold in the future.
Such good advice to end on. I feel like now we're going to need to have you back to like talk about that in the future. Like, okay, Aubrey, come back and let's just talk through like email strategy.
Yes.
And like the fun things that we're doing. Because even now we're like starting to do some new things within yes. this world for your email list that we've been talking about and those projects. And that's also going to be like really fun to maybe bring you back on and like kind of talk through like before and afters of like that yes. process. So, okay, I'm going to like put that on my little parking lot list in Trello that we'll need to like get you back in here for sure. Okay, Aubrey, where can people connect with you? They want to learn more about all of the things that you're doing or just want to say hi, like on Instagram, where would be like a good spot for them to go?
Yeah, good thing about me is I kept it all branded in the same. So aubreymalik.com, Aubrey Malik on Instagram. You can come see what I'm doing over on TikTok. I'm not there as much. I'm actually like trying to pick it back up there because I'm like, I miss my people over on TikTok too and giving them the love there too. But pretty much Aubrey Malik, wherever you go, Freelancer to CEO is the podcast. And yeah, those are the places you can connect with me and come say hi. I love chatting with people in the DMs too.
I love it. Okay, we're going to make sure we link all of that in the show notes so you guys can take a look at everything that she's got going on. We'll also make sure we link the new shop, which has just been such a fun project. So we'll make sure that we link that too so you guys can learn more about additional resources and products that Aubrey has. So Aubrey, thank you again for being here. This was so much fun. You guys, I hope that you got so many just golden nuggets from this episode. I hope you feel excited. I said several times in the beginning, like I really wanted this one to be just like a breath of fresh air for permission to just start. Like it doesn't need to be perfect. You don't have to have it all together. And like a lot of magic can happen in those early moments when you're just figuring it out and maybe you're bootstrapping it a little bit. Clearly, Aubrey and I love that world of like bootstrapping it. So maybe that is you. Maybe you're listening to this thinking that. Maybe you're listening to this and you have a couple of funnels, but this was just really great to think through like your audience and like kind of the strategy within your funnel and things that you can do to further optimize. Either way, I hope this was helpful. So thank you again, Aubrey. And you guys listening, I will see y'all next time.